Welcome to the Femi Pod. These conversations are for women runners that go beyond running. Brought to you by your Femi founders, Lydia O'Donnell and Esther Kewen. Welcome back to the Femi Pod for episode 117. It is great to be back. I missed the pod last week. Est had an amazing conversation with our Auckland Femi run leader, Soraya, which I loved going back and listening to. But yeah, it's good to be back. Of course, I'm here with my bestie, Estie. How are you, Est?
Babe, I'm good, thank you. Yeah, we missed you last week. Had a great chat, though, with Soraya. Like you said, she is such a legend and we've had some really awesome feedback about that podcast. If you haven't tuned in yet, highly recommend you go back and have a listen. There's many chats about sustainable training, slowing down, which I know a lot of us struggle with, slowing down your easy runs and the benefit that comes from that. And yeah, just went deep into, you know, her journey as a mother as well. So it was a really cool combo. Big shout out to Soraya for being so open and honest. But yeah, we really enjoyed it, but we missed you, Lids, as I mentioned. But yeah, no, I've been really good, thank you. I'd love to hear about what you've been up to in your training, because I love seeing how incredibly fast you're running at the moment.
Training is going well. I feel like the last week's been a little, well, probably more so just the last few days has been difficult because I have been traveling again. So I went over to Sydney a couple of days ago, and I was literally there for less than 24 hours, but I went for a really exciting shoot that I can't talk about, but I'm so excited for it to come out. But yeah, it's hard to try and like get the training in when, particularly when you're like traveling and turning travel around so quickly. But yeah, I got it done over the last few days and then had a really good session this morning. So I think over the last week, what did I do last week? I did a 10K tempo and I was just like, I'm just going to go and run and like see how I feel and like play it out as I go. And I ran like a 35 minute 10K, which I'm like pretty stoked about to do that in training on tired legs and solo. So I think that's a really good sign of where I'm at. And then on Sunday, I did a long run with efforts where I did a 5K effort, 4K, 3K, 2K. And then just like progressively got faster, but it wasn't like crazy fast for me. It was more just like trying to push the pace a little bit more during those really long runs, which ended up being maybe like 25 or 6 Ks or something. And that was fun. I feel like doing long runs and breaking them up by efforts actually makes it so much more enjoyable than just like going and running a sustained pace for the entire time. And it just makes it go so much faster. So I just like ran on this like pretty flat chat track in Tauranga called K Valley. It's like beautiful for doing efforts on because it's really like flat, no one's really around, and it goes for a long time. So yeah, I did that, and then this morning I did 3 by 10 minutes where I just like progressively got faster across the 10 minute efforts and felt okay, like considering all the travel and lack of sleep. Like the other night I got in from Sydney at midnight and then I flew out to Tauranga at 6 a.m. So that was a pretty hectic like trip, but it's good to be back in New Zealand for now. And also I just want to say thanks to everybody who reached out to me after the conversation that we had about running through grief and the fact my dad's in hospice. A few updates, he's still there, he's bloody fighting, and yeah, it is a journey, and it's a long journey and it's a tough journey, but I just want to say thank you to everybody who reached out and like sent me their love, and particularly those people who have gone through something similar. Like I really appreciate you all opening up to me about your own journeys and what helped you get through those times as well, because all of that is so valuable. I truly believe people can't really relate unless they've gone through it, and it's nice to hear from some people, though it sucks that you've been through it. It's nice to hear that I'm not alone on this journey. But yeah, sorry, that was a bit of a tangent on just my training, but that's where I've been over the last couple of weeks. It's consistent training and I'm feeling good and I'm excited to race in like another 5 or 6 weeks. What about you?
Nearly there. That's so exciting. I feel like although you may think it's a tangent, you know, all those things are influencing how you feel in training, you know. And that's what we talk about at Femi. Being holistic means that we look at everything in life, and like you say, you're going to feel tired from travel, like you're going to feel exhausted from what you're going through with your family. So yeah, it all impacts you in how you show up in your running. But yeah, no, I have been good. I have now reached 70 minutes in my running. So that was really cool, like a milestone to get like over an hour, I feel. And because it kind of is like getting up there into a long run again. And so, yeah, I have been obviously working with Grace, as you all know. I talk about her every single time, every podcast. She was messaging us laughing that she feels like, you know, she gets a shout out almost every pod from me. So Grace, the physio from Femi. Yeah, she's basically just said now, like, progress my long run every week. So I'll probably add, like, 10 minutes on every week. So next week will be 80 minutes. And then from there, might go up to, like, I don't know. I'll get up to 90 and then see how that feels. And maybe keep it there for a while and then build it up to, like, an hour 45 or something. I feel like I'm not sure I'll go much longer than that unless I'm doing, like, training for a half or something. And then I get to add in strides. So I'm very excited to add my strides on Sunday. I'm going to be doing those. And that's like the first introduction of speed. So anyone who's had Achilles tendinopathy knows that coming back and adding speed in is like always a bit dicey. So just have to do it really slowly. I feel like my patience is really good after everything. You know, it's been a long journey to get to this point. So yeah, that's so exciting. And then adding weights into my calf raises now. And then once I get through 4 weeks of strides, I get to do proper speed sessions. So like starting with tempos and that sort of thing, and plyometrics as well. So yeah, it's all ramping up. I have become a bike queen alongside running. I can honestly say that biking up hills is harder than running up hills. Like, it is so hard. My heart rate gets so high because you're pushing something else alongside your body up a hill. So yeah, it's tough, but it's good. I'm so excited. And I just want to spend this year, like, I'm probably just not, I don't know if I'll race a proper race. I might just do some park runs kind of thing, but I just really want to spend this year like building and getting real fit again, and then tackle some races like maybe end of the year or early next year. Yeah, that's kind of my plan anyway. So
I'm very excited. It's crazy because I saw your 70 minute run, you know, and like, although I've been watching your entire journey and obviously we chat every single day, it does feel like just all of a sudden you're running like these long distances again. It probably doesn't feel like it for you, but it feels like it's gone relatively quickly. And like, yeah, your patience is definitely going to pay off. And yeah, I think for people who aren't racing, particularly like aren't racing anything longer than 10Ks, I do think a 90 minute long run is actually like where it should be at, unless you're pushing up to the half marathon or marathon distances. But I think 90 minutes is a really solid long run to do, yeah, and like consistently do week on week on week and get a lot of benefit out of. Like, I think people have this idea of like you just have to always be progressing or making your long run further, or but I don't think that's the case. I truly believe like 90 minutes, unless you're in a training block for a like half marathon or ultra race, a 90 minute long run is a really good amount of time to be on your feet, to like not push yourself too hard and be like fatigued and have to like take time to recover. But yeah, get that consistency over time.
Totally. Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think 90 minutes is such a solid long run. And yeah, it is. I mean, we've talked about it so many times, but it is week on week on week. That's what where you see the benefit, rather than like slamming a two-hour run in there for no purpose, really. So yeah, I think I've talked about this already, but I'm really excited to continue this type of training ongoing. Like I think I've told you, Lids, and I've probably talked about this already, but I'm only going to run 4 days a week from here on out, potentially five. I'll see how I go. And cross train the rest. So I'm going to keep biking in between days, and lots of strength work and lots of Pilates and mobility. And I just want to do, it's like an experiment, you know. I want to see if I can get faster than I was before running every day, where I felt like my body wasn't really recovering. Personally, I know everyone's different, but personally I felt like I wasn't, and I wasn't able to like show up to certain sessions and like execute them well. So I really want to like flip it around now and train in a different way, cross train a lot. And there's some athletes out there that do that and are incredible, like Parker Valby, if anyone knows of her. I know she runs a fair bit, but she only runs like 4 days a week, cross trains the rest. Like, I think in saying all of this, like, I'm going to have to cross train really hard as well. Like, it's not going to be like, yeah, just go for a half an hour bike. Like, I'll probably be going for like a 90 minute bike those days that I'm not running. And then also Ellie Ostrander, who we love and are very inspired by always. She also cross trains a lot and doesn't run as much. And they're both absolutely phenomenal runners, you know, some of the best runners out there. So it's possible. Everyone's unique. And so I'm excited to give it a go and like see if my body responds better to it.
Yeah, I think so too. Everyone is so different. You know, you look at someone like Ellie, who's running like a 71 minute half marathon off like 5 runs a week, I think she's doing, which is still a lot of running. But for someone at that level, it actually isn't as much as you would see with a lot of other athletes. But it just shows like it works for her. And I think it's super inspiring to see that as well. Like, I personally am someone who runs well off a lot of running and a lot of mileage. And when I reduce that, I tend to not see the results as much, which in some ways I wish I was someone who would run really well off like 70K weeks. But I do have to put in the time to get the results and my performances. But yeah, everyone's different. You got to learn what works for you and then like really hone into that. But I think recently with my training, because of my current situation, I'm just trying to like make the quality sessions real quality, whether that's like the long runs and including the efforts or my speed sessions, and then every other day whether I get in like a half an hour jog and a half in the morning and a half an hour at night, or like a hour in the morning and not a double. Like, I just really am trying to take it day by day and just acknowledge that those miles don't necessarily count as much, so just like get them done however you can, and if you miss them it's fine because you're getting like the real quality in the days that do matter. So yeah, everyone's different, and then also every training block is different too. Like, you can't just repeat what you've done in the past and think that it's going to work. So particularly when life is always evolving and things are always changing, you got to kind of just go with the flow.
Totally, yep, definitely. And when your tendons get angry.
Yes, my tendons get angry. Yeah. Oh, the fact I can't find time to go to the gym is really doing me at the moment. Like, I know that I need to be in the gym 2 or 3 times a week to like not just see benefit in my training, but also just like prevent my injuries and flare-ups. And right now I can barely find the time to go once, and I'm feeling it real bad. So I'm like gonna go to the gym today. I've committed to it, and my husband and I are gonna go and do a session together, so I'm excited.
Nice. Yes, get James to get you there as well. It's always nice to have a friend going to the gym, I feel. Well, for you, your husband, but like someone to go with, because I know a lot of people listening, and personally, like, it's not my favorite thing to do, but I know how beneficial it is for me and you and everyone. So it is like, it's good to have someone to go with, and they can hold you accountable.
100%. I am so bad at just going to the gym by myself. I have to find like a really good podcast. The Femi Pod, just kidding. I don't know. I just have to have something to distract me, because I just get so bored, like standing and waiting, waiting around. And like, I don't know, I think a lot of runners can probably relate to this. Like, when you run, you are constantly feeling like you're making progress, you know, because you're like always moving, your heart rate somewhat always high, and you're like going from one place to another. It just feels like there's a lot of gains happening, whereas in the gym you're kind of just like, okay, I'll do this, like I'll squat down 8 times and then I'll rest for like 2 minutes, and it's just like, I don't know, it does feel pointless. It's not, absolutely it's not. Like, I have to point out that going to the gym and strength training is so important for your running, but sometimes it feels just a little bit monotonous and boring.
Totally, yeah, I agree. It is boring, and it's different, like running, your heart rate's high the whole time. Like, not high, but like it feels like you're working the entire time, whereas the gym is like, yeah, it is a lot of rest, and even some of the exercises aren't, you know, that hard. Like, it doesn't feel the same as heading out for a run. But yeah, like Lid said, get your butt in the gym, because it is so important.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So we wanted to jump into a conversation today based off, I guess, an experience that I had recently and something that Esther and I chat about all the time. And we have probably covered similar topics back in the past, but something we want to kind of bring to light right now is the fact about people talking about other people's bodies. So recently I was in a situation where I was with a couple of people and someone said to me, oh my God, like, look at your body, and was being very complimentary to me and was like, I know her intentions were good. And she definitely was like trying to make me feel good and like compliment me. And then another person came along and said, well, you know, she deserves it. She like runs so much and blah, blah, blah. And I felt incredibly uncomfortable and didn't really know how to even respond to it, even though I know she was like trying to be nice to me. And I kind of walked away from the conversation and I was a little bit like awkward and trying to analyze why I felt that particular way, even though they were trying to like say something nice about me. And I guess ever since Esther and I have been in this kind of like elite running world and spent a lot of time in crop tops and shorts and, you know, what we run in with minimal clothing, we've had so many people over the years really analyze our aesthetics and analyze our bodies and analyze our appearance and put so much energy and attention into our bodies and what we look like. And for both of us who went through pretty severe body image issues through pretty severe disordered eating behaviors, and then to come out the other side of that, I guess that journey just taught both of us so much about like why we shouldn't focus on our aesthetics and why it actually really doesn't matter what we look like, because at the end of the day we're athletes and we want to work our asses off to get our performances, to reach our potential and to reach our goals, and that is not tied to our looks at all. But there was so much emphasis put on our bodies and the way that we looked for such a long time. For those who don't know our story, both Esther and I were put under male coaches who put a lot of energy into us being lean and us being small and telling us if we were skinnier or leaner that we would be better athletes. And because of that, it just like really spiraled us into these like really bad disordered eating behaviors and body image issues. And so when this incredibly lovely person the other day was trying to compliment me on my body, I felt so uncomfortable, because I just felt that like, okay, well, if there is more energy and attention being put on my body, is that like what matters? And is that my worthiness is like being tied to my appearance? And I don't know, I felt a lot of that kind of like trauma come back. And yeah, I guess we're just going to like chat more about why our appearance shouldn't matter and why commenting on people's bodies should just like not happen, full stop. Like it just shouldn't.
Yeah, I think it's such a interesting topic, because yeah, like you say, she was trying to be complimentary, and I think a lot of the time people who comment on bodies are trying to be complimentary, but you have no idea what is influencing the person that you are saying those comments to and who is listening. And I think that is what is the most important thing to consider, and when you should stop yourself commenting on someone's body. Because like, I know people who had really severe eating disorders or like mental health problems who have been complimented by their friends on their body because, you know, they're leaner, they're normal. And actually what's going on internally is that they're fighting this massive battle with their mental health or, you know, their relationship with food. And that comment reinforces the, you know, if it is an eating disorder, it reinforces that what they're doing is good and that their body is now better than it was before, when really they're probably in a place where their body is struggling dramatically because they're not feeding it or fueling it properly. So I think like that's why just not commenting on people's bodies is powerful, because we don't understand the backstory behind that body. And like me personally, I have been bigger than I was before and running way better than I was before. And so if you looked at me in one picture versus the other, you were probably, based on societal expectations and what been taught as a runner's body, think that I'd be better at this point than the other point. But I'm actually performing way better when I carry more body weight and like look a bit different than before. So I just know how damaging it can be and triggering for people. And when I talk about people listening, like there was a situation at my old running club where a running coach talked about one of the girls in the squad and said in front of everyone, "Oh, you look so lean. Like you look like so lean," and in this really positive way. And instantly for me, I was triggered. I was like, oh shit, like, yeah, she looks great. She's lean. I'm not. He didn't say that about me. Shit, I should like work on my body. And then I was like, no, because I've been through it. I have wisdom now and can like look at it differently. But I was like, imagine if that was a 17-year-old girl who is more impressionable, similar to like what Liz and I went through, you know, different ages. But like, if I had been my 16-year-old self and heard that about another runner who I was training with, I would feel terrible about myself and think that I need to work on that and look more like her. So it's just like thinking about it in that way, hopefully changes people's perspective and that they're trying to compliment someone, but they potentially are making things 1,000 times worse or impacting people listening as well. Like, it's just, you just don't know what someone's going through. You don't know why their body is the way that it is. And so you shouldn't comment on it.
100%. And I don't think it's just like tied to running and elite running as well. Like, I know that this fitness industry that we've all grown up in and this health and wellness industry over the last like 10 or 15 years has like really been targeted at women who are, you know, looking a particular way or have abs or have a booty or have like a low body fat percentage. And it's all about aesthetics on social media. It's all about like who looks a particular way, and because of the way they look, they're going to gain like traction or followers or whatever it might be. And I think we're just like fallen into this kind of rabbit hole of always having people's appearance put on a pedestal and people then like buying into that and thinking that they need to look that way to get that level of attention or whatever it might be. And so, you know, even just going on social media and looking at some girls and then reading comments or being like, oh my God, like look at your abs, or oh my God, look at this, look at the way you look, like I want to look like that, like all of that stuff. I'm sure that person maybe takes some of that in a way that's like complimentary and being like, oh my God, I feel good about myself because people are complimenting my abs. But like at the end of the day, she is also going to walk away being like, well, I am valued because of my appearance. I'm going to have to like continue to do this X thing to have that value or feel like worthy when it comes to people loving you or paying attention to you. And that's where I think it can get really toxic as well. And I mean, for me, I feel like my body image issues since I was like young, I've been on such a journey with the way I felt about my body, particularly through my 20s when I was put under these male coaches who were constantly saying, you know, oh, if you just lose a few kilos here or there, or like just remove X out of your diet or whatever it might be, like you're just going to be such a better runner. And then my entire approach was to restrict my diet and run a certain amount in order to look a certain way, not in order to perform a certain way. It was all like my whole focus is tied to being low body fat and having abs and looking lean because that's what my coaches encouraged me to do, not I need to train and eat away just to get faster. Of course, the leanness eventually, I was told, and the narrative I was fed was going to lean to being faster. But the first step to get there was to lose weight. And trying to rewrite that narrative and undo all of that has taken so much time. But now I'm in a position where I'm like, I don't give a shit what I look like. Like some days maybe I feel a little bit more insecure about myself, and that's all tied to my cycle, of course, and the way your body changes throughout your cycle. But like most of the time, I'm just like, I don't care. As long as I can get up and run well and hit my times. And in order to hit my times, I need to obviously have the energy and fuel. Like that's what actually matters to me, you know? And so I think obviously that is both of our stories are very similar, and like hence why we started Femi in the first place. But I think even now, like I can acknowledge that I'm in a smaller body and I have a privilege and I know that, but I just don't need people commenting on my body at all. Like I love when people are like, oh my God, I love your shorts, or I love your style, I love your fashion, like I love the top that you're wearing, whatever that might be, your hair looks cool today. All of those things, like 100%, go hard, compliment me, please. I'll take it. But like, if it's like anything to do with leanness or small, or anything about my actual physiology in my body, I'm like, I need to shut that down so quickly because it's it doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly. Being healthy, and you know, if we look at it in the performance, like being able to show up and train well and consistently improve is so much more important than losing 1% body fat. And yeah, I think our coaches had it so wrong back then, and hopefully they have learnt, and I'm sure they have, because like when we say all this stuff, it's also like the system failed them because they did do a lot of study, you know. The coaches that we worked with were, they were knowledgeable, but they weren't ever taught anything about female bodies. And we need to carry more body fat to have a natural menstrual cycle and to take care of our hormones. So that should be like the last 0.1% of what you do as the most elite athlete in the world with extreme dietitian help. It should not be the first thing that someone focuses on to attempt to get faster. Like there's hundreds of things you could do that are so much more empowering, good for your mind, good for your body, that don't involve punishing yourself and restricting your diet and like not doing it in a way that's like watching your cycle and doing it with a dietitian. I just think it's backwards, but it is starting to change now, which is really exciting. Like I know a lot of high performance sport in New Zealand now, they regularly check in with the cycle with their athletes, you know, have you got your cycle this month? Is it regular? Is it the same as last month? You know, if their bleed is shorter, they might increase their food intake. So they're literally monitoring every single cycle and making sure that that is kind of the pillar of health rather than losing 1% body fat. Like it's like that is now flipping the script, and that is what is the sign of performance and health, which is so cool.
Yeah. That's I mean, exactly. But I think it's not just like pillar of health, like what you said is pillar of performance as well, because performance only comes from sustainable and consistent training. And so like you need to have the ability to back up your training over time to get better, no matter what sport you're doing. And you can only do that like if you're healthy. So it's like also intertwined. But even like, even some of the greatest athletes in the world, like we were speaking earlier, Est, about particular athletes on social media who, you know, in like typical lean running narrative, in quotation marks that is, they are lean, right? And then you go and look at their comments, and these are some of the greatest athletes in the world who have been performing so well, and the comments are just all about their looks and all about their leanness, or all about their bodies and all about what they look like, and people giving them guidance or advice on what they should be doing to like be looking after their bodies or whatever. And it's like, fuck off, these people are some of the best athletes in the world, and they're clearly doing all the things right to look after themselves, and who cares what they look like as long as they're healthy and performing well. That is the most important thing. It's just insane that people feel like they have the right to comment on people's bodies when they know nothing about them.
Yeah, it's pretty sad. And the reason we say like don't speak about people's bodies is that it can go both ways, right? Like someone can be naturally extremely lean. Like there is a particular athlete, Eilish McGlogue, and I'm sure she's very open with what happened, like the comments that are said to her and her body and her body type. And, you know, she's been an elite athlete for many, many years. And like, if you were not fueling by now, we wouldn't have seen her anymore. Like, it's clear that she's looking after her body. And she is just naturally extremely thin. And I'm pretty sure she may even have like a metabolic issue where she has to eat so much food to even hold the size that she is now. And the comments on her posts are disgusting. Like, calling her anorexic, saying go eat a pie, like, honestly, like, the most horrendous things ever. And this is someone who really is an advocate for cycles. She talks about it all the time. She is really looking after her body. And it just makes me so sad that you have no idea what is going on internally and with that individual. And then you go and you just make all these assumptions about her and rip into her. And it's completely untrue and unfair. And I don't know, that stuff just makes me so mad. Like, I just, like, feel so... I actually replied to that. I don't think she'll ever see it. But I'm a big fan of her. She's really cool. And I just said, like, yeah, people shouldn't be commenting about your body. Like, it's just so not... It's just not okay.
Yeah, social media is just, like, a cesspit for it. You know, like, people feeling like they have the right to go and talk about how other people look. It's just so inappropriate. But even away from social media, people just making comments about things, side comments that they don't realize the impact of what they're saying. And I know Ali Ostrander also talks about this quite regularly. You know, she fell into an eating disorder in her teenage years because she was at the track watching other people compete. And she heard parents of some of the people competing saying, like commenting on the athlete's bodies and saying, oh, you know, she's a bit slower because she's put on a bit of weight or she's gone through puberty. And she heard that, and that completely spiraled her into an eating disorder for years. And you just never know who's listening and what impact your words can have. And I think it's just, like, so important to be aware of that. I remember when I was at the track in my 20s, I was actually coaching kids, some teenagers, and an older man, I don't even know who he was. He, like, came over. He was a coach of maybe some of the sprinters, and he came over to me and was chatting to me, and he said, oh, like, what distance do you run? You must run the 100 meters looking at you. That's just an assumption he's making based off my appearance. That's it, really, at the end of the day. And of course, in my 20s, when I was going through body image issues and I was already questioning the way that I looked, I went away from that conversation being like, oh my God, do I not look like a distance runner? Do I need to change the way I look? Why don't I look like that? Am I too muscly? Am I too fat? I don't know. Like, that still sticks with me today, you know, like those small little comments that people have made over time, you carry that so deeply, and it's just so inappropriate. And I just wish and hope that people stop focusing so much on people's bodies and talking about them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely, it's hard to fully heal from comments like that. Like, I know you were saying before, Liz, like, you're feeling pretty, like, confident in your body. And I have ups and downs still, like, and that's all because of, like, yeah, what I went through as a young athlete, and actually still, you know, in my 20s and everything as well. But yeah, I feel like I still battle with a lot of those thoughts and feelings. And since being injured, I definitely have felt like I've put on a bit of weight, and I felt challenged mentally to still be okay, like, in my body and mind and stuff. So I just wanted to share that because, like, it is a constant journey. And, like, those words all the way from when we were, like, 13 or whatever, I still carried till when we're, like, I'm 32. So that's, you know, nearly 20 years later, I still feel the impact of those words. I think it's just, like, the action now is I don't take action, which is great. Like, I don't do anything silly because I know how important it is for me to look after my body. But no, it's, like, always probably going to – hopefully, like, one day I will be so confident any size, any shape, whatever my body's doing, confident with it. But yeah, definitely still carry some battle scars from those times.
It's just, like, a whole other reason why people shouldn't be commenting on people's bodies, because our bodies are going to change over time. And, like, I don't pay attention to your weight. I have no idea, like, if you put weight on or lost weight or whatever, because I just, like, I love you because of you, and I don't care what you weigh. But you know, like if you're at one point getting all these compliments of people being like, oh, you look so good, or you're so lean, or look at your abs, or whatever, and then all of a sudden you're not getting those compliments, like, of course, that's also going to make the way that you feel about yourself change and feel different. And so, like, just if you feel the urge to say something to someone about their body, I think it's really important to stop and reframe it in your mind. And even if you're thinking, wow, she looks ripped or lean or whatever it might be, just try and find something to compliment her on that isn't her body. Like, well, those shorts look really good on you. Like, that's so nice. And like, that's a really cool color. Like, that looks really, that color really suits you. I think we all have to kind of go on the journey because, yeah, like, I've grown up in this world that we've all grown up in, and I've, like, you know, there's instilled beliefs in me that a smaller, skinnier, leaner body means that they're going to be fitter or faster. But trying to undo that narrative takes time, and stopping yourself from commenting on the way people look is so important to then just be like, how can I compliment them in a way that isn't about their physiology and their body? I think is so important. So, like, I urge us all to go through that and force yourself through that process, because, yeah, you just don't want to be that person who is adding to potential trauma that people have felt in the past.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. And, like, our brains are, like, able to be retrained, you know? So, like you say, it's like stopping yourself doing that over and over again. And even the way that you talk to yourself, like, I definitely have stopped myself from saying, you know, really negative things or being like reframing it. Like, oh, I feel like fat today. Oh, no. No, actually, my body is strong. You know, like, you could take those moments to like really flip it, and like eventually it will work. Like, that is how I overcame health anxiety, because I literally every time it would come, I just had to go through the same thing, change my thought process, flip it to something else. Talk myself through it in a positive way. And then, like, eventually the amount of times it happens reduces. And then you have this whole new neural pathway in your brain. So, like, yeah, let's practice it. And let's, like, let's reframe it in our minds, and it will become, like, normal and our normal practice.
100%. Yeah. We could do this all together.
Yes. And it's so important, because you literally, like, could change someone's life entirely if you don't try to become better at it and you continue, you know, commenting on people's bodies without taking note. Like, you could genuinely change the trajectory of someone's life. And to flip that, if you don't talk about their body, same thing, you could change the trajectory of their life in a really positive way. Yeah, so that's pretty powerful. Like, I feel yeah, we can do some real good.
You know, the compliments that I like getting when I'm training are compliments of like, wow, you look really strong today, or you look really happy, you look like you're having a really good time out there. Or maybe like when I'm doing a hard session, like I did that 35 10K last week, and there was like this beautiful group of women there who were like a little bit older than me, and they were doing like this like walking running session on the track. And they came over and they were just like, oh, you like looked so strong and comfortable out there, you know? And I was like, thanks. That's like, I want to feel like, if I look like I feel comfortable when I'm like trying to push myself, it's that's a real big compliment. So thanks, you know? And that's, I think if you were to think about what compliments to give people, particularly at running sessions, if you're at run clubs or whatever, is just like, yeah, tell them that they look strong and comfortable and confident and smiley and happy, like, as well as their outfits. Compliment their outfits
too. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like, powerful, you know? Like, you're a powerful queen who looks comfortable pushing hard. Wow. Like, that's so nice. I would, like, cry if someone said that to me. Thank you.
Love that. Love it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're going to wrap up for today. We also want to acknowledge that it is International Women's Day tomorrow. So happy International Women's Day to everybody. We have so many things going on at Femi. Check out our Instagram if you want to see them. It is going to be quite last minute, but I'm sure you can jump into some of them across Australia and New Zealand. But we are stoked to be supporting women every single day. We are so grateful for the community and for all of us to be on this journey together to bring equality to the world. So happy IWD 2025, and thanks for the chat, Est. We will all be back on the pod next week.
Thanks, everyone. Happy International Women's Day.
Bye.